Thank the Lord. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16, Gospel of John chapter 16 this morning? And if you don't have a Bible, there are some Bibles in the pews in front of you or behind you. Or if you can't find one, raise your hand and we'll get you one. As we've said many times, whoever's up here at the pulpit, what I have to say or anybody else, in my own opinion, doesn't mean anything, but God's opinion means everything. My words don't mean anything. His words are everything, and they're our life. Jesus says, my word is spirit and life. Now, for those of you who are visiting, it is such a blessing to see you all here. We've been going through a study in this church for the last year and a half on biblical theology, studying the doctrines of our faith, because God's word says in 2 Timothy that we are to watch our life and our doctrine closely, for in so doing we will save both ourselves and our hearers. Very important today to know as Christians what we believe and why we believe what we believe, as Christianity is being challenged from every side. But we thank God for His word that never changes, right? Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will what? Never pass away. So God is eternal, and what a blessing it is to have His truths. And as we've been going through this study of the doctrines of our faith, we've studied Scripture, the canon of Scripture. We've studied man and the nature of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've just begun a study on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and what the Scriptures reveal about the Holy Spirit and how important it is for us to understand Him. So here in John chapter 16, let's begin reading here with verse 7, okay? And these are Jesus' words. Gives us great insight into the working of God's Holy Spirit. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." The Greek word is paraclete, or the one who comes alongside of us, the Helper. "But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit of God. Now, last week, we talked about one of the key activities of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world and especially in the church. Everything that God does here on this earth is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we said, where is the Father? He is in heaven, seated on His throne. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father. Where is the Holy Spirit? Right here. And everything we see God doing here on earth is done by His Holy Spirit. And we went into the fact that all through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit was there at creation. The Holy Spirit moved on Mary when Jesus was born. The Holy Spirit came upon the church on Pentecost, and the church was born. Everything that God does, the Holy Spirit makes that happen. That's one of His great responsibilities, and that's who He is and what He does. So here, Jesus gives us some insight now on going into the Holy Spirit. And one of the key things He says here is that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will guide us into all truth. How many of us know today that we cannot understand the Word of God apart from His Holy Spirit? This is not just a good novel. This is the living and active Word of God. And God's Holy Spirit gives us insight into it. Many people forget that. But when I come to the Scriptures, and this morning when I was studying through the Proverbs and praying, I said, "Lord, just open Your Word up to me, Holy Spirit of God," because God opens our eyes. That's what He does. In fact, in Psalm 119, it says, "Open my eyes, O Lord, that I might behold the wondrous things out of Your law." It's God who opens our eyes. So we commune with His Spirit here. He's with us. He's our helper. Sometimes we forget. Many Christians don't even understand that. So that's one of the things he does. And Jesus said, as the Holy Spirit reveals the truth, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? Now, as all of you know, I circle all the ifs in my Bible. If you continue in my word. How many think if is a very important word? It's little, but it carries a lot of weight. Wherever you see an if, you find a conditional promise. That means whatever God promises is conditioned on my response, something that I do. Isn't it great that he gives me a part in his plan? So if I continue, abide in his word, continue in his word, dwell in his word, live in his word, then that proves I'm truly a follower of Christ, and I will grow to know the truth, and that truth will bring freedom into my life. The opposite is true too. If I don't continue in the word, then I will not learn the truth, and I will not walk in the freedom that God has for me. And how many Christians today are not walking in that kind of freedom because they don't know the word? So one of the key things the Holy Spirit does is guides us into the truth of God's word. Now, we talked about last week, I said in this portion of the series, we were going to answer many questions. One of those questions, how can I learn from the Bible? We have many new Christians here in this church. We have young Christians. Some of you that are older know this. But there are many who may not understand how we approach God's Word in order to learn from the Scriptures. I know of many Christians, the only time they learn is on Sundays, when they sit and learn, or someone teaches them, or at a Bible study. But how can I open up the Scriptures on a daily basis and glean from God's Word His truths? We're going to talk about that right now. The first thing, there's 2 points today. Point number one, I don't have 3 points like seminaries teach you. And I'm not sure I have good illustrations for every point, but we got 2 points here today, okay? Number one, first we have to understand as we approach God's Word that it is the Holy Spirit who wrote the Word of God. It is God's Holy Spirit who gives us His Word, okay? The entire Old Testament, Jesus said, and the disciples said, was written by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me here to 2 Peter chapter 1, would you please? Go to the right in your Bible from John. You'll pass 1 Peter. You'll come to 2 Peter. If you miss it, you're going to be in the Johns. You're going to be 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So 2 Peter chapter 1. Now we're going to pick it up with verse 20 right in the middle of the verse. Well, let's pick it up in verse 19. Actually, the whole chapter is an excellent chapter, but we're not going to go into the whole chapter. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. 2 Peter 1:19, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, so this is something we need to know as Christians. First of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the Word of God. Now, prophecy does not only mean something that is foretold in the future. The Greek word for prophecy comes from the word pro and phese, which means to speak forth. And prophecy, biblically, is to speak forth what God wants us to speak forth. That's what prophecy literally means. Or to write what God calls us to write. We're vessels of His Word, okay? So, in this passage of Scripture, tells us a lot of things. One, they were carried along, the Bible says. Carried along by the Holy Spirit. In the King James, it says that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The same Greek word in Vine's expository dictionary that everybody should have. I think everybody should have one of those. It says, this Greek word means they were borne along or impelled by the Holy Spirit's power. Not acting according to their own wills or simply expressing their own thoughts, but expressing the mind of God in words provided and ministered by Him alone. This is how we got the Scriptures. Now, why is that so important today? Because Scriptures are being challenged as being absolute truth. Barna has taken many surveys of evangelical born-again Christians. Today, a little more than half of all evangelical Christians consider this word absolute truth. That is a major problem with a capital P. Major problem. Because if one part of God's word is compromised, the entire word of God is compromised. And that's what we have today, being questioned. Some of you new Christians, as you get out into the world, people are going to say, how can you believe that Bible? That's full of contradictions. How can you believe a book that was written by men? Come on now. Haven't you ever played the game telephone? Anybody ever play the game telephone? You know, one person tells somebody a story. You've played that. And then the next person tells their friend, the next person tells their friend. And by the time you get around 10 or 15 people, what happens to the story? It's not even the same story that started. You know, because we forget and we embellish, and that's how humans are. So we get that attack. How can you believe a Bible that was written by men? Over 1,500 years from every facet of society. Well, if you know God, first of all, if anyone comes to God, it says in Hebrews 11, if anyone comes to God, he must first believe that he is, that he exists. And we know he exists. And what I tell people is, Almighty God created the universe, which we cannot even fathom the extent of that. Marlon was teaching science this year, and he said, there are little dots, little specks of stars out there that you can only see by the most powerful telescopes. And in those little specks of stars are billions of galaxies. If God created all things by the power of his word and sustains all things by the power of his word, can he watch over his word and work through people? Absolutely. That is no problem at all. And that's what the Bible indicates to us. The men were moved upon. Now, there are several scriptures that tell us this in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 24, verse 2 says, this guy named Balaam, how many have ever heard of Balaam? Most of us in Sunday school hear of Balaam and the donkey, right? But there's a whole lot more to the story of Balaam than just the donkey. Balaam was a prophet of God. Balaam had a big problem. You know what his problem was? He loved money. He loved money. Unlike most Americans, he loved money. And he would do anything to make himself a little bit more rich. And so when the king of Moab asked Balaam to bring a curse on God's people because he was afraid of the Israelites coming through his land, Balaam says, how much? This is paraphrased. You can read it in the whole story. And so the king sweetens the pot, and Balaam at first says, I can't say anything except what God tells me. How much did you say that was? So he lured him in. So Balaam tried to curse God's people for this king. And you know what? God would not let him do that. So here you have Balaam, and it says Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up this discourse and said, and then he writes it out, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, and falling down with his eyes uncovered. He says, I cannot say anything because God has just opened up my eyes. Has God ever restrained you from doing something that you would have done? Praise God for His Holy Spirit. Don't you wish He would restrain us more often from saying things we shouldn't say, reminding us of things? But there are times when God just restrains us in all of His grace, because we are what we are by the grace of God. And Balaam was restrained, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Also, in the book of Ezekiel 11, verse 5, it says, the Spirit of the Lord fell on me. And he said to me, thus says the Lord, so you think, O house of Israel, for I know the things that are on your mind. So the Holy Spirit comes on Ezekiel, and God says, I know what you're thinking out there. And Ezekiel starts speaking the word of God. Now these prophets, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they knew it. They knew they were just not writing on their own, because the presence of the Holy Spirit is very tangible. It is very tangible. And the more that we know Him, the more we experience that. They knew what was happening, and we're going to see that in a minute. They knew it was not normal. Then you have in Zechariah, the Lord of hosts sent the words by His Spirit through the former prophets. That's what it says here. The Lord of hosts sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Even the prophet Zechariah spoke during the time of Nehemiah, close to the end of the Old Testament. How many of you know the Old Testament ends with the book of Nehemiah? Now you know. When you read Ezra and Nehemiah, that took place 400 years before John the Baptist, and all the prophets roll back in behind that. All the kings, okay? So the Old Testament ends with the book of Nehemiah. And Zechariah was one of the last prophets, and he knew that the book he was reading, the law that he was reading, the prophets he was reading, they were moved on by the Holy Spirit back then. Also, in the New Testament, we have Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 says that David, when he was in the Spirit, said these things, penned the very Psalms he was writing. How did David write those Psalms? He was in the Spirit. So you find the moving of the Holy Spirit referred to in different ways biblically. The Holy Spirit falls on people, came upon people. It talks about being in the Spirit. What happens when you're in something? Let's say you're in water. You're surrounded. You're engulfed. You're enveloped by the water. There's a place of being in the Spirit. All of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, who was what? Says in chapter 1. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. There's this enveloping of God's presence. So we find that Jesus said, David wrote as the Holy Spirit was enveloping him. Acts chapter 1, verse 16, the disciples said exactly the same thing about David. The Holy Spirit spoke the Scriptures by the mouth of David. So God was using people as His vessels to speak His Word as the Holy Spirit moved on them. Now, a very interesting passage. Turn back in your Bibles to 1 Peter, okay? And if you're still in 2, that's going to be very easy to find. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is a fascinating passage of Scripture because it reveals what was going on in the mind of these prophets when they knew something was happening, that God was moving on them. Look at the insight we get here. Now, 1 Peter 1 is talking about this marvelous salvation that we have in Christ and the hope of our eternal life with Him. Then he says in verse 10, 1 Peter 1:10, concerning this salvation, Peter is saying that we are now enjoying, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. Now, stop there for just a minute. Notice here the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ, right? In the Old Testament. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever present. And these prophets, as God was moving on them, they were wondering, what does this mean? What does this mean? When Isaiah was writing, for unto you a child is born, and unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. What does this mean? But he knew the Holy Spirit was moving on him. So after these prophets, Daniel and David and Joshua and Jeremiah and Zechariah, Haggai, Habakkuk, all these prophets, when they were writing down, they stopped and they go, whoa, what are you talking about here, Lord? Because they knew it was a moving of God when they were penning those. They were just like us. How many of you want to know what's going on? What's going on, Lord? You know, what we say here a lot is that whenever we read Scripture, one of the things for me that keeps Scripture so alive is that it's always revealing two things. Can anybody tell me what God's Word always reveals whenever we read it? Something about us and something about God. Something about our nature and something about God's nature. All the way through. And in this passage of Scripture, it reveals something about God's nature, His all-knowingness, His sovereignty. God knows everything. And He uses people to bring His Word by the power of His Spirit. And it says something about us here too. Look at what it says here. We want to know what's going on. We ought to say, God, what are you doing? Where are we going with this? That's part of human nature. And look what God here answers. Verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. Stop there. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. What does it reveal about human nature? We can be very self-serving. So that's why Christians sometimes, when God is leading us a certain way, or we have a job that there's many people that I know that are being given early retirements in their 50s, you know, because they're too expensive for their companies to keep. So there's a big career change, or there's many who a sickness comes in, big change in their life, a death in the family. God wants them to move someplace, and all these big changes. And what many Christians say is, you know, Lord, I don't know if I want to go till you tell me what's going to happen. Where are we going with this? Why are you doing this? Why are you letting this happen? See, we want to know. And oftentimes, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He says, this is not for you to know. Because you're not serving yourself, but what's happening in your life is for the people that are going to be coming behind you. This is for their benefit. What I'm going to do in your life is going to be a testimony that's going to strengthen them coming behind. But we want to know. They were just like us. He says, it's not for you to know. They're not serving themselves, but you, in the things that have been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So even the angels don't know what God is doing. And the angels can't experience the salvation of God like we do. How many are thankful for that? Praise God for that. So here you have the Holy Spirit moving through the prophets. And therefore, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, almost all Scripture is inspired by God, right? Doesn't say almost? All Scripture is inspired by God. You know what liberal churches are saying? Almost all Scripture. Or parts here and there, maybe. They just deny that it's the Word of God. And they treat it as allegories and metaphors, and they say, Jesus really didn't mean this. He didn't mean there is a hell. Everyone understood He was just talking about something else. Yeah, we have to really watch. People will say, you know, well, come on now. Did a fish swallow Jonah? I mean, do you really believe that story? Absolutely. How do we believe that? Because Jesus used that story, that very account, to indicate His resurrection from the dead. He said that was true. Remember the Sunday school? I told a lot of you this, but some of you didn't hear it. Little Sunday school girl who was at her school, and her regular school, and the teacher was talking about things, and she said, yeah, well, a big fish swallowed Jonah one time, and the teacher says, look, there is no fish. And the little girl thought it was a whale. She said, a whale. And the teacher said, no whale is going to swallow any man. And the little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher says, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? And she says, well, then you ask him. But we believe. We know God's word is true. Right? All Scripture is inspired by God. Now, another key point here. Isn't that great, kids? Out of the mouth of babes. The Holy Spirit, very important point, will never lead us independently. The Holy Spirit will not lead independently of the Father and the Son, but only in unity with the Word of God. Now, next week we're going to talk about how you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And one of the key things is, the more we know this Word, the more we can tune into His voice. Because He leads us according to this Word. John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And He will declare to you what I have said to you. John 14, turn with me to John 14, just real quickly here. And in John 14, Jesus says the same thing about the Holy Spirit. Verse 25. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So, all that I have said to you, Jesus said. So what is the Holy Spirit moving on people to write in the New Testament? Everything that Jesus said. He authors the entire Scripture. And we've already been through a study of how we can know this is God's Word when we studied the canon of Scripture several months ago. But it's the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit will not lead us contrary to this Word. As a pastor, brothers and sisters, I hear this all the time. all the time. Well, God is leading me to do this. I say, well, what is the Bible says you can't do that. Pastor Doug, I know what the Bible says, but this is the way the Holy Spirit is leading me. That is, let's see, what's a good word for that? Nonsense. Yeah. He will not lead you contrary to this word. He will lead you according to this word. And oftentimes we can't hear him clearly because we want things to go a certain way or we want to do something, and our voice just overpowers everything else. I have people come to me, some of you young people that are here. Oh, boy, I just met this guy. He's not a Christian, and he has some problems, but, oh, I just know it's God. I know it's God. God is leading. I say, you know what the Scripture says? Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. God is protecting you from something here. Pray that he'll come to Christ, but do not get involved with him. Hooked up is the normal vernacular right now. Don't hook up with him. God says don't do that. But Pastor Doug, I know it's God. I say, how'd you know it was God? Because the other day I was riding my mountain bike and it was cloudy. And I said, oh God, show me if this is the one. And all of a sudden, Pastor Doug, the cloud opened up and this ray of light shined through the cloud and I knew it was God. I said, that was not God. There is a God of this world. Do you think Satan can open the cloud? You know, if Satan can bring a wind and wipe out all of Job's houses, he can do a lot of things. That is not the way to get direction. Because when you open up yourself like that, you can have all kinds of stuff come into your life. The most solid way is to look at God's word. He will guide us in the area of relationships, in all the areas. Forgiveness. Well, I'm not going to forgive this person until they change. I say, what does God's word say? Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. I know what God's word says, but I ain't going to do it. God doesn't want me to give them a second chance. Oh, no? Well, his word says, I don't care what the word says. This is how I feel. See, we do that as Christians. Well, when we do that, we are not being led by the Holy Spirit. We're being led by some spirit. Or by ourselves, but not the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said he will never speak of his own authority. That's what it says here. The Holy Spirit will never lead us independent of what God the Father desires. So first of all, we've got to know that the Holy Spirit gives us the Word of God. Secondly, we must embrace God's Word as truth and put it into practice then. And act upon it. If it is the Word of God, we act upon it. So the first thing in coming to God's Word is to know it is the Word of God, right? Second thing then is, I wanted to put it to practice. Now listen, God's Word, the words of Scripture, are not words that we should simply consider or think about. I mean, that's a good thought. Oh, 10 Commandments, those 10 suggestions back there, those are good, yeah. You know, if it works into my plan, that's a good thing to do. No, God's Word is truth to be learned, not words to be considered. That's how we begin to posture ourselves to glean from God's Word when we come. Psalm 119. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there real quick. But Psalm 119 and verse 10 through 11 says this. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments! Exclamation point. For I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So that's where we have to be. In other words, I can't think any other way. This is God's Word. Doesn't matter what I think. What I think, if it's contrary to this, what I think is wrong. Because this is the Word of God. God's Word is not optional. This has to be a settled matter in the heart of a Christian before we ever begin to learn from this Word. Okay? It's got to be settled. Peter said, Lord, to whom will I go? There's a time in Jesus' life when Jesus said some things that were hard to understand. What did he say? He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. That's tough. Lord, are you talking about cannibalism here? And it says at that time in John chapter 6, many of his disciples fell away from him. So Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, are you going to go with him? And what does Peter say? Lord, where would I go? You have the words of life. You have the words of life. What other book am I going to read that's going to tell me about life? How to have godly relationships? What other book am I going to read that's going to tell me your plan for marriage? What other book am I going to go to that's going to tell me about how I should handle a corrupt government? How I should handle authority of any kind? Relationships and family? What other book am I going to go to that's going to tell me why I have all the wealth that I have? What am I supposed to do with my resources? Where am I going to go? Jesus, you have the words of life. There's no place else. And as we approach God's word that way, God will speak to us and begin to teach us. Look at one more point here. Go to Psalm 25, would you please? And this will be the last scripture, except for one more. That's right, I got it. Just one more. But Psalm 25, very important passage here, says, verse 8, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way." Humility. Humility when we come to God. You know how we approach God's word in humility? By saying, "Lord, I don't know anything and You know everything." If we approach God's word thinking we know, we're not going to glean from it. And my experience as a pastor, Christians who don't read the Bible daily think they already know it all. Now, we would not say that, but that's the way it is. Because if we realize, "Lord, I don't know how to act. I don't know how to respond to life. I don't know what to do," we will be immersed in this word because we realize I don't know and He does. And that is the first step to learning from the Word of God. We posture ourselves to learn. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, As newborn babes, go after the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word. I just had a little grandbaby this morning, and I guarantee you, that little boy loves milk. And all of you moms know what I'm talking about out there. I mean, babies don't know much, but they know how to eat. And that is the one thing that they want is food. That's it. A newborn baby is not thinking about toys. You're not going to impress them with toys. They want food. When they're crying, mothers have this great intuition. Dads go, "What's wrong with him? He's hungry." Right? They know. This is the illustration that God gives us as Christians. Long for the pure spiritual milk. A baby doesn't know anything. All it knows is, "I need that nourishment." That's it. And you know what? That's the simplicity of the Christian walk when it comes to the Bible. "Lord, I don't know. You do know." Years ago, I told you, I started praying, "Lord, I want to think in terms of Your word. Lord, I don't want Your word to catch me off guard. I don't want to keep reading and going, 'Ooh, I wish I would have done that. Ah, I got to change that.' I want to think in terms of Your word. So before I act, You're guiding me and leading me." And that's why we're so strong here about memorizing Scripture. Memorize the Word of God. Because the more Scripture we get into our minds, we set our minds on the things that are above, the more the Holy Spirit's going to lead us. And before we can move, those Scriptures are going to be there. When I was battling with lying, I had a bad problem with lying because in my younger years, I was a humanist agnostic. I was against all religions and all Christianity and everything, and I lied about everything. I used to say, "That Bible's full of contradictions." I never read it, but I would say that. And whenever I started to lie because I'd memorized some scriptures, God's word would be there, Doug, "No man who utters lies will continue in My presence. No man who practices deceit will dwell in My house, Doug. You want to dwell in My house? Yes, Lord." Quit lying. His word would guide and direct me. When I'd get mad, Doug, "Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. For the anger of a man does not work the righteousness of God." "Thank You, Lord." Okay. I mean, His word guides and directs us. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us. And this biblical directive that we have in 1 Peter is for Christians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him." And it says a very important verse in there, "And he is not able to understand them." Turn with me there so you know I'm just not coming up with this. Please, real quick. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, foolishness to him. And the next verse says, he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. When we're talking to non-Christians about the Scriptures, they are absolutely not able to catch it unless the Holy Spirit moves on their heart and convinces them. That's what it says. He convinces and convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they don't believe. So the natural man cannot even respond except the Holy Spirit moves on him. God is in much more control than we think. He is moving greatly here. Okay? And for His disciples, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, it says in John 14, all that I have said to you. How grateful I am for that. How many of you who are over 50 are grateful that God can bring the Scriptures to memory? Are you losing ours a little bit? I tell you, I get so embarrassed because there are some of you here that I've met four times for the first time. I hate that. And I can blame it on my years of drug and alcohol abuse before I was a Christian. I can blame it on chemotherapy, you know, that I had a few years ago. I can blame it on a lot of things, but I'm just apologize for that. If I meet you and I have to meet you again. But you know one thing that God does? He brings to remembrance in my heart the Word of God. And that has to do with my mind. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And I am so grateful for that. So grateful. Isn't He a great helper? Praise God for that. In the last verse, Galatians chapter 5, 22, which is the last verse we're going to turn to here. And this says something very important. It says, walk in the Spirit. And we can walk in the Spirit. And one of the best ways to do that is to humble ourselves before God, come to Him as newborn babes, realize we don't know what to do every day, but God does know what He wants us to do. And I want to learn, and we walk with Him and step with His Holy Spirit. We're able to do that. And here in Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing what you want to do. So there's a war inside of us. There's a natural sinful nature against the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that God's Word does not say, stop gratifying the desires of the flesh and you'll walk by the Spirit. Because then Christianity would be all these don'ts. Quit this. Don't do this. Stop this. You know? But that's not what God's Word says. You know what God's Word says? Walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desire of the flesh. So it's not what we stop doing so much as what we start doing in the Lord. That's how we walk in the Spirit. I want to get away from bumping this worldly line right here to where I'm going to do what God wants me to do every day and I'm going to take my cues from this Word, and all of a sudden the power of sin in my life diminishes, loses its grip on me. Praise God for that. And then God begins to transform our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Wow. Self-control. How many of you like people like that? And that's what happens as Holy Spirit transforms our lives. So we're going to continue this next week, but we are out of time this morning. Let's bow for prayer, okay? Father in heaven, thank you. And Heavenly Father, we just want to pause for a moment now before we sing one more song of praise to you because you're worthy. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that your mercy is new every morning and great is your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that you remember our frame that we're but dust. Thank you for the gentleness with which you carry us along like lambs in your arms. You know our weaknesses. You know our strengths. You know everything about us. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know words before they're even on our lips. We thank you for your power. And we don't understand why you called us, why we're a part of your family, your kingdom, why the Holy Spirit has opened up our eyes. But we honor you and thank you, O God. Let our lives radiate your presence. And right now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, if you are one that has a hard time reading the Scriptures and you just get frustrated with discipline and you know you should, but sometimes you just can't get anything out of it, right now is an excellent time to say, Father, open my eyes. Give me a hunger for your Word. Like Jeremiah said, oh God, your words were found and I ate them. I digested them, and they became to me the joy and delight of my heart. We want to be like Jeremiah. Thank you for this, Lord. And the enemy wants to keep us away from your word. Help us to understand that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the flow of your forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. We can lift up those prayers before God, and He'll hear them right now. And there may be somebody here in this room or maybe listening to this message by another means. God's Holy Spirit has been drawing you, and you know it. Give your life to Jesus. Respond to Him by faith. Come into the kingdom. Confess Him as your Lord and your Savior. And don't hesitate, for today could very well be the day of your salvation for all eternity with Him. And if you're in this room and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, but you know that God, the things that we're saying here ring true to you, and they would not ring true if God's Spirit was not moving on you, then come into the kingdom. Don't leave today without giving your life to Jesus Christ. You can get one of the worship team or me, grab an usher or someone you came with, confess Christ as your Savior. Father, we thank you for this morning now and for your presence, for your love. And now, O God, receive this last song in worship and honor of you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing this last song.